Tarzan of the Apes. In a certain spot on the African coast, far from any village or town, a lonely little cabin stands in a small clearing surrounded by dense jungle. In this little cabin, Tarzan was born and orphaned by the deaths of Lord and Lady Greystoke, his father and mother. Adopted by Kala, a great she-ape, Tarzan grew to tall, young manhood. Kala taught him the secrets of the jungle. Tantor, the elephant, who was his friend, also taught him many things. And from Numa the lion and from Cheetah the leopard, he learned how to protect himself. And so Tarzan grew to be a mighty hunter and savage fighter, and in time became king of the great apes. Often he went back to the lonely little cabin, and with the help of the books he found there, he slowly taught himself to read and write. For many weeks, Tarzan had been away from the cabin. He had been hunting with the great apes. Now he was returning alone to the clearing where stood the little cabin. He came one night to the native village of Mbonga. He saw a white man, the first he had ever seen, tied to a stake in the middle of the village. Fiercely painted savages danced around the stake and howled at the man. They were torturing him and were going to kill him. Tarzan, perched on a great limb above the village, coiled his long grass rope. And then, as if the sound had dropped right out of the sky, came the fierce, challenging cry of the great apes. The drums became silent. The dancers stopped as if turned to stone. Tarzan's rope flew out and dropped around the shoulders of a huge native who stood in front of the white man with spear lifted and ready to strike. Then the big savage seemed to go straight up into the air, and screaming with fright, he disappeared in the trees above the village. The watching natives howled in fear. They scattered and raced for the jungle. When the cries of the frightened blacks had faded in the distance, a young giant, brown as an Indian and wearing only a leopard skin for covering, dropped from the trees and walked toward the white man. Seeing a knife in the young giant's hand, he thought he was now surely going to die. And, weak from suffering and lack of food and drink, he fainted. When he came to, he found himself lying on a bed of ferns under a little shelter of leaves and branches. Beside him sat the young giant. For a long time, he looks into the young man's face. Then he says,
I am Paul Dano. Who are you?
The young man shook his head. Then suddenly Tarzan left the little shelter, only to return a moment later with several pieces of smooth bark and, wonder of wonders, a pencil. He wrote on the smooth inner surface of the bark. It was a message in English, and it read, I am Tarzan of the Apes. I speak only the language of my tribe. This is the first time I have spoken with another of my kind through written words. Dano was mystified. It seemed impossible that there was a full-grown man on Earth who had never spoken with a fellow man. That night a fever came upon Dano, and for many days he lay unconscious. Then the fever broke, leaving him weak and exhausted. By signs he indicated that he wanted to write, and when the ape man had given him pencil and bark, he wrote, Can you go to my people and lead them here? Tarzan wrote in reply, No, the great apes may come, and if they found you here alone, they would kill you. To which Dano wrote, I understand. What can I do to thank you for saving my life? And Tarzan in reply, Teach me the language of men. So eager was Tarzan to learn that in a few days he spoke brief sentences, and at the end of 3 weeks he could carry on a halting conversation. One night he said to Dano,
Sleep, Dano. You almost well. Soon now we go to cabin. Your people.
The next morning when Dano awoke, Tarzan examined his wounds. Then he went in search of food and water. Dano lay on his bed and wondered about the young man who called himself Tarzan of the Apes. Aloud he thinks,
I call myself Dano of the Navy because I belong to the Navy. Surely this young man does not call himself Tarzan of the Apes because he belongs to the Apes. He is like a king. His face, his fine, perfect figure, showed gentle breathing. I must ask him about his mother and father.
Tarzan, with his arms filled with wild plums, mangoes, and breadfruit, starts back through the middle terrace of the great jungle trees. In the distance, Numa the lion roars a savage, earth-shaking challenge. The sound comes from near the place Tarzan had left D'Arno. Swift as an arrow from a bow, Tarzan speeds through the middle terrace. D'Arno has also heard the lion and realized that leaves and branches were no protection from wild beasts. Painfully, he crawls from his shelter. He hears the great beast rustling softly through the bushes. Then a huge black-maned lion bounds into the clearing between D'Arno and the trees. He is trapped. Numa gathers his hindquarters under him and with a savage roar leaps, just as Tarzan, with the warning cry of the great ape, drops from the trees above, squarely on the lion's back. With lightning speed, a mighty arm whips around Numa's neck and he's lifted from behind as easily as D'Arno would lift a pet dog. D'Arno watches the terrific struggle in spellbound amazement. Tarzan's right arm holds Numa's huge neck in an iron grip. His left plunges the knife again and again in the unprotected side. Numa paws the air and struggles helplessly. Then, suddenly it is over. With a last dying groan, Numa sinks to the ground. Placing his foot on the great cat's body, Tarzan throws back his head, and the kill call of the great apes rings through the forest, warning all of the savage beasts that a great bull ape has made his kill. D'Arno shudders at the weird sound and stares at the ape man in silent wonder. He could not guess that he's looking at the son of an English lord. Presently, D'Arno smiles as he says,
"But you, Tarzan, to kill a lion with nothing but a hunting knife. If I had not seen it with my own eyes, I would not believe it. Twice you have saved my life, my friend. I thank you."
"It is nothing."
"It is not every day that one is rescued from the jaws of a lion. And you tell me it is nothing."
"If I not kill Numa, he kill you."
"Oui, that is true. Tell me, mon ami, your name, Tarzan. What does it mean?"
"In language of Mangani, it means white skin."
"Mangani? I do not know that tribe. Who are they?"
"They are great apes."
"Great apes? You mean they have a language?"
"Yes."
"And you understand it, speak it?"
"It was first language I learned. My mother teach me."
"Your mother? She spoke the language of these apes?"
"She was great ape. Her name, Kala."
"Ah? Oh, that is not possible, my friend."
"Yes. The only mother I know. She was Kala, tribe of Kercha."
"And your father?"
"Not know him."
"Tell me, Tarzan, how long have you lived in the jungle? Where is your home?"
"Tarzan always lived here. The jungle, my home. You are first white man I have seen."
"Strange. Then how is it you read English?"
"Many years ago, when I was little, I find cabin in clearing by big water. In cabin are many books. From books, I learn to read and write."
"I see. But that must be the same cabin in which we found Professor Potter and his daughter Jane. We saw their signal fire, and when we landed a small boat, we found them."
"Who is Professor Potter?"
"He and his daughter were shipwrecked on the coast near such a cabin. It was only by chance that the cruiser on which I am stationed found them so quickly."
"White people at cabin?"
"Oh, oui. Besides Professor Porter and his daughter, there are the officers and men of my cruiser. How long have you been away from your cabin?"
"Almost 3 moons. I have been hunting in jungle with apes. On my way back to cabin, I find you in Mbanga's village. Why I find you prisoner there?"
"When I went out alone to hunt, I became lost and was captured by the savages from whom you rescued me."
"Sleep now, D'Arno. Tomorrow we go to cabin."
"Oh, that locket you wear around your neck. Where did you get it?"
"Tarzan find in cabin many years ago."
"May I see it?"
"Yes."
"Oh, it's a very beautiful piece. There must be a way of opening it. Oh, yes, here is the clasp. Ah, you see?"
D'Arno presses the hidden clasp, and the two halves of the locket spring apart to show a small picture in each half. One, the picture of a very beautiful lady. The other, that of a fine-looking man. A man who, though older than Tarzan, looks exactly like him. The next morning, they set out for the cabin. As Lieutenant D'Arno was still too weak to make the journey on foot, Tarzan carried him. They reached the clearing late in the afternoon, and D'Arno was surprised to find no one in sight. Even the warship was gone from her anchorage in the bay. They hurried on to the cabin. No one was there.
Your friend's gone, D'Arno.
Oui. Oh, but they must be coming back. There are many things here from my ship. Now, what's this? Ah, here on this table is a message for you.
For me? I do not know your friend.
It says, to the owner of this cabin.
Read.
We waited for many days for one of our party who was lost in the forest. He was a naval officer. When a search party found his uniform in a native village, we knew that he had been killed. We thank you for the use of your cabin, Professor A.Q. Porter. They have given me up for dead, Tarzan. Now what am I going to do?
You live here with me. Teach me about world you know.
Yes, I will teach you what I can. But to live here in the jungle for the rest of my life, it is not a pleasant thought, my friend.
I lived here all my life. I'm not unhappy.
Oh, that is different, Tarzan. You have never seen or known anything else but this jungle and its wild animals. Oh, when one has lived in the world's great cities, one would die of loneliness here in the jungle.
I do not know those things. You will tell me and explain my book.
For many weeks, D'Arno did nothing but rest, and at night he would talk to Tarzan of the many things in the world outside their jungle. During these weeks, Tarzan learned very quickly. One night, he brought a geography to D'Arno and asked him to explain it. D'Arno told him that the part colored blue was water, and the parts in other colors were the continents and islands.
Where are we now?
I should say about here.
Where is England?
Oh, this little pink island way up here is England.
I am going there.
Just like that? It is impossible, my friend.
Look, I put my thumb on the place where we are, my finger on England. You see, it isn't very far.
How can I make you understand, Tarzan? This is a scale of miles. We measure so from here to London. You see, it is many thousands of miles.
It is not far.
Oh, but there is the jungle in between, deserts and mountains and oceans to cross.
Do white men live in Africa?
Oh, yes.
Where?
North of where we are, here on the map.
And they have boats to cross the ocean.
Yes.
We will go there tomorrow. I am going to England.
Why do you want to go just to England, Tarzan?
I don't know. There is something inside me that says I must go to England.
And how, my good friend, will you get to England without money?
What is money?
It took D'Arno a long time to make Tarzan understand even a little of why people must have money.
How do men get money, D'Arno?
Well, they work for it.
Then I will work for it.
No, my friend, I have enough for two. You shall have all you need if we ever reach a city.
We will start at sunrise tomorrow.
Early the next morning, they started their long journey. Tarzan asked questions and learned quickly of the things D'Arno told him. One night, while sitting beside their little campfire, D'Arno said,
"You still believe, Tarzan, that your mother was an ape?"
"Yes."
"Did she ever tell you about your father?"
"Only that he was a white ape without hair, like myself. I know now that he must have been a white man."
"It is impossible, my friend, that the ape Kala was your mother. Aside from that locket you wear, have you nothing else which might help us to learn who your mother and father were?"
"Only a little book which was written in a language I do not understand. Maybe you can read it."
From the bottom of the quiver in which he carries his arrows, Tarzan brings out a little black book and hands it to D'Arno, explaining that he had carried it with him from the day he had first found it in the cabin. It was a diary and was written 20 years before. It tells the story of adventure, hardship, and sorrow of Lord Greystoke and his wife from the day they left England until an hour before they were killed by a great ape. It is written in French, a language Tarzan does not know. D'Arno reads the book through, coming finally to this entry.
"Today our little boy is 6 months old. He is sitting in Alice's lap beside the table where I am writing this. There, he has grabbed my pen in his chubby fist, and with ink-smeared little fingers, has put his tiny fingerprints on this page."
"I have looked at the book often and wondered what those marks were."
"They are the baby fingerprints, Tarzan, of John Clayton's son. Well, what do you think? Does not this little book prove who you are? I am sure, my friend, that you are that baby grown into a man. You are Lord Greystoke."
"No, D'Arno. The book tells of only one baby. I found it with the bones of its mother and father the first time I went into the cabin.
Just where did you find them? Outside or inside the cabin? On a bed or on the floor? Do you remember?
Yes. They were lying on the floor beside a little bed in the cabin.
And are you sure they were the bones of a human baby?
They were very small, Dano. Like those of a baby ape.
Baby ape. One time in London, in the zoo, there was a monkey. She had a baby and it died. The monkey carried the dead baby around in its arms all day. There were other baby monkeys in the cage. And she exchanged her dead baby for a live one. Have you ever seen that happen among the great apes?
Yes, many times. When a baby ape dies or is killed, its mother will try to steal the baby from another ape. Why all these questions, Dano?
Because, my friend, your past life is a puzzle to me. It is deeply interesting. And someday, I hope we will know all about it.
A month later, they came to a small group of buildings at the mouth of a great river. There, Tarzan met Professor Porter and his daughter Jane, who had been rescued from the jungle by Lieutenant Darno's ship. One evening, when the little party were together on the broad porch of the hotel, Darno told them the story of Tarzan.
Gracious, what an amazing story. But now that you're leaving the jungle, Tarzan, you'll never go back to it?
I don't know about that, Miss Jane. I'm not sure that I'm going to like the outside world.
Oh, but wait till you've seen it. This little place is nothing compared to London and New York.
And are you going to London?
Yes, and from there to New York and home.
That little book Lieutenant Darno spoke of, Tarzan, the one with the baby fingerprint, may I see it?
Yes, it's in my room. I'll get it.
Father didn't tell you, Lieutenant Darno, but his hobby is the study of fingerprints.
A fine young man, that Tarzan.
And to think that only a few months ago he was almost a savage.
He learns very quickly, and he had a deep thirst for knowledge. He has learned in a few months what it would take the average man years to acquire by hard study.
Here's the book, Professor Porter.
Come with me, all of you, to my room. I'll take your fingerprints and compare them with these.
Do the lines in a person's fingertips change as one grows older, Professor Porter?
No, from the day a man is born until he dies, the lines remain the same. They change only in size.
Could you tell the difference, Professor, between the fingerprints of an ape and those of a man?
Yes, the apes would be much simpler.
But a cross between an ape and a man, if that were possible, might show resemblance to the parent?
It is possible.
Compare the prints, Father. We're all anxiously waiting to see what you find.
Yes, my dear, it'll take only a moment.
Oh, I hope, Lieutenant Darno, that the prints are the same. There can't be any other answer.
If Tarzan is not the son of Lord Greystoke, then how in heaven's name did he get into that lonely jungle where no white man other than Lord Greystoke had ever set foot?
Tarzan, my young friend, there is much at stake here. These prints are much alike in certain lines, but to be sure, I think we had best leave the final comparison to the fingerprint experts of Scotland Yard in London.
You can't be certain, Father?
No, I'm not certain, and I don't wish to raise Tarzan's hopes by giving an opinion which may prove wrong.
Thank you, Professor Porter.
Well, since we are all going to England, then why not make the trip together?
A week later, Tarzan and Darno, Professor Porter and Jane, were passengers on board a British steamer bound for the port of Liverpool. And after a few days in that city, they continued on to London. Experts made a close comparison of Tarzan's fingerprints and those left in Lord Greystoke's diary by his baby. They were exactly alike, proving beyond a doubt that Tarzan of the Apes was the son of Lord Greystoke and Lady Alice. And so Tarzan of the Apes, mighty fighter, mighty hunter, king of the great apes who were once Kerchak, came into his own and recovered the title and estates of his father, Lord Greystoke.